B-Pod Studios.
Like, ridiculous saves.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Tucker and Rich.
I just want to tell you both, good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Retrieved by Achari. Shoots Binnington, the save. Rebound. Binnington, what a stop on Nordstrom. Spectacular with a right pad.
You didn't hear this a lot last night.
No, now they can get rid of this.
What's now they can go straight to Bear Force One.
Bear Force One will be everything.
What a perfect way to cleanse the palate. Start anew.
That's right. Say adieu to the... Rass made a bunch of good saves last night. I'm watching the replays, and I mean, he made, like, ridiculous saves. But I don't like that ESPN's finally showing hockey, and this is what they're showing.
That's the one they're showing.
Yeah. All right, so sickly Nicholas was out. I guess his father went to the broadcast of Felger and Maz and was standing around.
I don't think it's him. They tweeted a photo. That's not your dad, is it?
Yes, it is.
That's your dad?
Oh, that's absolutely his father.
Because I just thought it was just another dude with the cool the hat, the Kangol hat.
He was in walking distance.
Weren't you there?
Not in the morning. Definitely not during zone.
I think Mark Giamalli went from here to the Boston Sports Grill to grab lunch and hang out with Zoe and Beetle.
I think that he my guess would be that he hung around like waiting for them to recognize him and put him on the air. He was so high from his appearance
on the show
that he was like, "Yeah, I can't get enough. It's time to infiltrate the whole deal." All right, so Nicholas was out just drowning in his father's wake, and he was down there at the Garden after the Bruins lost, and here's what he had to say.
All I gotta say is that game was f***ing bullshit. This is all f***ing bullshit. Go Bees. Next year we're gonna have a f***ing weapon.
We're gonna win.
Nope.
What did that guy say?
I don't know what he was. I don't know how he lost his voice last night. I don't know what he was.
We're gonna win.
I don't know what he was doing that made him lose his voice. There wasn't a whole lot of.
Yes, Raggy?
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of things to cheer about.
Hey, school, what are we gonna do next year when they get the old sack race at the company picnic?
We're gonna win.
All right, so we continue.
What the f***?
I can't talk.
No, you can say something. How about you?
Harrison, buy ribs. This is nonsense.
What? He's going to buy some ribs?
What?
How about you?
Harrison, buy ribs.
Whoa. Harrison, buy ribs. That's what it said. He's directing his friend to the nearest rib joint.
Harrison, buy ribs. Me eat ribs.
Harrison, buy ribs. Harrison, buy ribs.
Is that the new Hager to say?
Harrison by ribs.
What'd you call him? Harrison by ribs.
Harrison by ribs.
I mean, I think he's literally saying Harrison by ribs.
Yes, he's got a buddy standing next to him. His name is Harrison. He wasn't paying attention to Nick. He's like, I'm hungry. We're going to stop for ribs on the way home.
Who's named Harrison?
I don't know. I was at dinner last night and someone was talking about, there was a group of high school kids talking about why someone was good at squash. So
No way. No one has that conversation.
I swear to God. And then the guy was talking about kicking someone's ass, and I'm like, yeah, let's...
Right after talking about squash.
Yeah, I'm like, let's pick a lane here.
Now, did Harrison just come out of the womb with a lacrosse stick?
Come on. All right, here we go.
Harrison, by ribs. This is nonsense. Our team,
give a legit take.
Yeah, give a legit take.
He did, and that take was
Harrison by rear.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I feel for the people that spent $5,000 to get into that game yesterday.
Tell me about it. Not one moment of joy.
Nope. Not one minute of chance. They dropped the puck, and then there you were.
Our team,
give a legit take.
Yeah, give a take.
I just, bro, it's 98.5.
I think it's a joke. It was 4-1. Are you joking me? 4-1 at home. At home.
What are your thoughts on the Blues?
I think the Blues are a bunch of scumbags.
everybody I've met from Missouri is a bunch of bums.
Danny Bias is soft on the puck. High key, if Danny Bias played for Bruce Cassidy, that kid wouldn't touch the
nobody.
You watched the last goal last game. Danny Bias was sitting there with his ass out, and he got knocked off like a little girl. Number nine, Danny. That kid is a pussy. If Danny Bias was in the Bruins organization, he'd be sitting in Providence.
Okay,
right now.
Danny Bias, that's Sammy Blay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Gentlemen not knowing how to pronounce things. The French, B-L-A-I-S. Sammy Blay.
Sammy Blay?
Not Danny Bias.
What did Sammy Blay do?
Apparently something to piss this guy off.
Wasn't a huge name flying around. Let me see the grade on Sammy Blay. Let me see here. Sammy Blay.
I think we have a clip of his highlight here. It's a
Harrison Piper here.
Okay. No,
he had eight minutes last night. He was on the... He was a C-plus, according to The Athletic. Blay didn't look out of place in his first NHL playoff experience. Came into the lineup late in the second round against Dallas and kept place in the lineup with a strong positional play and a good physical edge.
Well, maybe this guy is the one who wrote that article.
Well, that was a C-plus. I mean, they're not exactly... he was not a standout in this series.
I'm sorry.
It's all good, bro.
I mean, there's no excuses.
Honestly?
There's no excuses.
Think about it.
I have to live with this for the next year.
Think about
it. Until we win it again. It's honestly, nonsense.
Dude, honestly, it's I'm 21.
I literally put my South Shore crib on the line tonight.
I've seen...
South Shore crib? Good for him. He was about to put it on the line tonight.
A few
and the fact that I have to have nobody stay in my crib for no reason.
Wait, what?
What? So, well, Nick just asked what. You're about to hear what.
I put my house on the line today. Put my house on the line tonight.
No, you didn't.
I put my house. I literally bet my house tonight. I bet my crib on the line to my buddy. I bet my crib on the line tonight. He's living in my crib until they win it again. So thank you, the Bruins. Thank you. I lost my house. Thank you very much.
Shout out Scituate, Massachusetts.
All right. Shout out Scituate.
After he lost his house.
Yeah, his buddy's going to live there. Wink. Throw me in the briar patch.
And I said he had to, and you know what? I lost his bed, so now he's got to sleep in my bed with me. Oh, Bruins, you did it.
Yeah. Oh, boy, here we go again.
This is nonsense.
It is.
Harrison Piper here.
So that was the scene out in front of the Boston Garden yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
We don't win.
It's all starting.
Harrison Piper here.
All right, 617-779-0985.
But Fred, people are blaming either Marchand or Tuca this morning, or maybe the first line for not delivering over the past several games. And to me, there's really an easy explanation, and I knew it going into it, and I had a bad, bad feeling. But there's really only one person that you can blame.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nesson. Star of Nesson.
You're not playing the whole thing.
Get the duck boats ready.
It's updated.
After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold. Dale Arnold.
Backhander and a big St. Thomas rebound score. Joel Ward on the follow-up bid wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
And the Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
It's uncanny.
Now I'm starting to think it might be real.
Ever since Dale Arnold took over, freaky things have happened with his team. I mean, you had that weird thing that happened in Game 6 with the Blackhawks. You had, of course, what happened last night.
Jaffe told me he wasn't even standing on a box anymore. He was just levitating.
He just floats.
Yeah, he just
like Scott Stapp in the Creed video.
He's a wizard.
Oh, here I come.
It's the curse of Dale Arnold. Although if you don't concede to that, then I will say that it had to have been the curse of Curt Schilling, who was at the game last night.
Was he really?
Oh, they showed him on the Jumbotron. Someone just woke up from under a log.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, things not going well. In
scraggly
show.
Beard yeah. type of situation?
Yeah.
Was the reaction from the crowd when they showed him?
Put it this way. People went nuts when they saw Gronk. They went nuts when they saw Edelman and Slater. Slater was there. The loudest applause of the night had to have been RKK.
When they showed him, of course,
he was doing his thing. And then Kurt was just kind of, it's Kurt. It's Curt Schilling.
So they showed him all in, like, succession?
No. Curt Schilling had his own little thing going on. And, like, he lifted up the shirt that said, "Why not us?"
Was he throwing feces?
He was just like,
"Why not us?" That's left over from 2004.
Well, you don't say.
Seriously.
That's where most of his clothes
are. A lot of holes in that shirt. Jesus.
I mean, well, listen, when you're going to Goodwill for your clothes.
He was rocking the finest Bugle Boy yesterday.
He said Zeke Averici's on your saying?
Yes, he did.
When you're going to the Goodwill, things can get rough. Yeah, Curt Schilling not looking well. But in fairness, he does have that show from his basement that's available on some medium.
Somebody said, "I don't know who I hate more, Dale for the curse or you guys for updating this and making it seem more real." Telling you, there's enough info now. There's enough evidence that there's something to this curse of Dale Arnold.
I wonder if he made a deal with the devil that he would keep that haircut, but they would punish the Bruins.
And so he wants to keep the hair? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he loves that haircut. He's like, he loves it.
He just says,
it's like his favorite thing.
You shall have a full bouffant until the day you die.
Just that silvery Flanders haircut.
But in return, the team you love most shall perish, and you shalleth be braved.
That's what I'm guessing.
It's like he shakes his head moves, but the hair stays in the same place.
It's a whole glue situation.
John's
How long has his hair been like that, John? Since he
made a deal with me.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has to cut his hair or if it just is constantly.
Just like a hammer and chisel. They just go around. Stays right in place.
Oh, boy. I hate everyone.
Your news update, boy, shall become way more successful than you've ever been. And leave you in the dust. Enjoy your bouffant.
No more play-by-play for him.
Oh,
boy. All right. 617-779.
Oddly enough, this doesn't make me feel better. This was a hell of a 5 minutes, but I still feel pissy about last night.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, it was
Jesus. Just,
there was nothing to enjoy. There was never a moment of enjoyment.
It wasn't even
a pacing game. It wasn't turn the channel game.
There wasn't like a big hit or anything, for a moment made you feel a little bit of hope.
See, I wanted to turn away, but I made a deal with myself that I was going to stare at this thing. I was going to stare at it and look at it for what it was. And I came all this way. It's the last game of the season. I'm watching game 7. Damn it. I'm not changing the channel.
Halfway through the third, I just said, "How do you do?"
Nope.
I go, "Here's the bed."
I started. I finished.
Nope. I was not watching the Cup celebration.
And by the way, you know,
the only thing is that girl got to touch the cup.
Oh, that was awesome. That was nice, but I don't want to hear about that today. I really don't.
No, but it was a nice thing.
No, it was a very nice gesture. They flew her out there, sure. I thought it was very nice, but that's not what I'm about.
What's her
today.
Name?
Layla.
They brought Layla in, and they brought her down to the ice, which was cool. I mean,
very nice.
And she, it was a cool moment. That was cool.
That's the only thing I take away, is that girl got to touch that. The cup.
Yep. I take away that and that Dale Arnold's to blame for everything in this life that goes miserably into the toilet. So
that's right. Yeah, everything he touches turns to crap. Piece of garbage. Ruining the season. What's wrong with him? Facebook living like an idiot from the wasting everyone's time.
Oh, we've got a little more of that too.
Oh no.
Not of Dale.
Oh yeah. Was he doing it last night?
We got ourselves a nice little one-timer from Jack Edwards.
Nice!
All right.
Nice!
We'll hear all of this.
Shall give you gigantic teeth for all of your days.
What?
It's the curse of Jack Edwards.
Oh.
Well, he's brown?
It took him until he was like 60 to figure out that his teeth were brown. Oh. I'm just angry.
They shall be enormous.
I apologize.
Don't apologize. We've got to feed off that anger for another 3+ hours. Come on now.
I know. I wish the show was over. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, obviously it hurts, it just hurts. You know, I know it's going to hurt for a while. Been there before, haven't got over it yet. So I don't think I'll ever get over this one either.
Is that Pastrnak?
No, it's Krejci.
98.5, well, yeah, I should have guessed.
I haven't seen anything from Pastrnak yesterday, so I don't know if he
It would have been something if they would have won, because he could have been on the social media.
You're right. That's the one thing we were robbed of, and that was a David Pastrnak Stanley Cup summer. That would have been a thing to behold. Because, I mean, there's no one that I can think of. There's no one on St. Louis who's going to be able to do anything close to what Ovechkin did. Ovechkin set an all-time record, but Pastrnak would have been so damn fun. Because he would have broadcast everything, Fred. He loves the social
media.
What's
up, guys?
He's the world's happiest guy.
Yep.
I mean, that would have been unbelievable.
He would have played communist Monopoly for days and days and days.
Monopoly?
It's Monopoly, Fred.
Come on. Yeah, that's right.
Gotta get the pronunciation right.
But he, with these buy horses, it takes 7 hours to play the game. If you don't, this is all true, by the way. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he talked about what he did during his time off, and he said he had a family in town, and he was playing a Czech game of version of Monopoly.
Monopoly?
But it's from the Czechoslovakia.
It involves horses, yes.
And it, when that was under the reign of communism, and indeed it was a communist Monopoly, which is just Monopoly.
Monopoly?
Right. The government owns everything. It's a very boring game. Ian, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey.
I don't like to draw comparisons to other teams' successes and then, you know, their shortcomings when you run into something like we did last night. But I don't know about you guys, but this feels an awful lot like that Patriots Super Bowl against the Eagles a couple years ago.
But that was glorious. I
mean, against the Eagles?
Yes, it was glorious.
Why was it? Oh, all right. I understand. Yes.
Because they got their comeuppance.
They deserved it?
Now, yes.
I see.
Yes, every time they lose a Super Bowl, they deserve it. An angel gets his wings.
Gotcha. You can't compare it to that, because that was an offensive explosion on both sides. You know what this was last night?
Plus it was great.
This was the exact opposite of what happened against Vancouver in Game 7. I mean, if you were a fan of the Blues, you got that feeling that we did in 2011, where you could kick up your feet and go, let's relax and watch how this game ends, because you knew that they had it in the bag. I mean, the game was won early on. So, no, I can't compare it to that.
No, the game was won at the end with 7 seconds left in the first period.
And it's still not even the worst Bruins loss. I wouldn't even say either Stanley Cup loss was the worst. I would go back to Philly in 2010 as being the worst Bruins loss.
They were up 3-0 in Game 7.
And they were up 3-0, and it was all like some cosmic joke.
Yeah. I don't think that there was an end of a season that pissed me off more than that one. Like, that was
Carolina,
the one that was...
Carolina, when they beat them.
Washington beat them in overtime.
It's still not as bad as being up 3 games and 3 goals in Game 7 and losing.
That was 2010, right?
Yep, that was the year before they won the Cup. Yep, and they bounced back after that.
Well, the thing about that year is that they had some momentum. I don't see them getting back to this place anytime soon.
Well, I mean, that's a question. And as a matter of fact, a couple of the guys on the team were asked about that, including Zdeno Chara, who
spoke, even with his jaw the way it is afterwards.
Well, I think it's just tough to right now to look anything past, you know, tonight. Sure, that's going to be something we will have time to think about, but definitely this is a very tight group, very special individuals, and like I said, I'm very proud of this team.
Well, somebody yesterday asked Patrice Bergeron if he was playing injured, and he said, yes, of course. He said, and I guess he later told everyone that he was dealing with some sort of groin issue.
Which is seems persistent. I mean, he's had a bad groin for like 3 years now. I mean, remember last year he had this screwed up groin?
Yep.
I wonder what's going on with that. Because it seems like it's chronic. That he always is dealing with a groin injury. So I worry.
He's been playing great hockey, though, during that time.
I'm not saying that. But he's always got a groin injury. And so, I mean, can that be chronic? Because it was last year, I believe it was the year before that he had a groin injury. So he's been playing through that for at least two seasons.
Yeah, like a torn groin, I think is what is being said. He did not confirm that it's torn. But once again, I think today is the day we get the laundry list that says what everyone's got. And I would like to see what the Blues are playing through, too. I mean, everyone's beat up this time of year. And that's the thing that also sucks a little bit more is that, you know, if you don't win the Stanley Cup, you know, what did you get? You got two more months of hockey of just being banged up. I mean, it was fun. Listen, the run was fun. And it was great. But it sucks for these guys who, I mean, you talk about getting back next year. It's nearly impossible when you play that much hockey and they're back on the ice in what, 3 months to train?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't have much of an offseason at all. You're beaten to hell. You've got Torrey Krug, who last night was probably his last game as a Bruin.
He's on the books for next year, but all things considered, because you have McAvoy, who's a restricted free agent, you have Carlo, who's a restricted free agent, you know, unless you convince either one of them to take bridge deals, you'll probably have to deal Krug
They're going to cut Backes, and they're going to have to pay the price for that. And they're going to, because they're never going to be able to trade.
According to what I see here, they have about $14 million of projected cap space right now. Okay. All the forwards are back.
Where they're going to Bolesky that some bitch.
Right. All the forwards are back except Johansson and Achari. Heinen's a restricted free agent. He's not going to make much, if anything.
No.
So, but yeah, Achari and Johansson are unrestricted free agents. Otherwise, you have everybody back.
Yeah. And they're going to, would you give up an asset to just not have to pay Backes?
That's a lot of money, yeah. I mean,
I mean, they're going to... Backes is not going to be on this team next year. There's no way.
One way or another.
Yeah, one way or another. I mean, they'll buy him Seidenberg style.
But you'd rather get something for him, obviously.
No. You're not going to get anything. You're going to give something.
Yeah, well, get somebody to take the money. That's what I'm saying, that money off your books.
You have to give up an asset to get someone to take Backes, I guess.
But you're going to have to give up quite an asset. Or someone who's working with the floor of the salary cap.
Yeah.
Like in Arizona. It's always Arizona that can absorb cap space. It always seems to be them. But, boy, was that a bad signing. Eek.
Here is Charlie McAvoy, by the way, afterwards. And he kind of had a little bit of a honest moment. He was the guy who, I don't know if he was last off the ice, but he was one of the last guys. And if you saw him, he just like bent over and it looked like he was... I mean, he was obviously probably crying, but someone had to kind of go up and kind of pat him on the back. And here he is. He talked to the press yesterday after the game.
Charlie, what's the emotion like when you get to within a game of what you've worked all season for and just to fall a little short?
It's devastation.
Charlie, the first 17 minutes, you guys really came out strong. Did you feel the game shift there in the final three of the first period?
How long do you think something like this will take to get over?
Long time. I don't know.
Charlie, what felt different about tonight?
I don't know. I mean, we played well in the first. We had a bunch of chances, and we didn't capitalize. We were a great group. I mean, We all love each other. We're going to lean on each other a lot here this summer and get through this thing.
Well, then why don't y'all get married? Love each other so much. Anywho, 617-779-0985.
Harrison, buy ribs.
He's still hungry.
Harrison's still buying ribs. If you own a rib place, just know Harrison's on the way.
He's looking to get the hookup.
Yeah, he's looking to buy some ribs. He's in the market for some ribs. Just know that.
Harrison, buy ribs.
That's right. Sometimes you got to do that. All right. An hour and a half, 2.5 hours left of this.
We got Ty. Hey,
why is this not Friday?
I need to know the behind the scenes of what happened with Thomas
yesterday.
It's
just like rainy and cold.
I know, it's nasty. It's
and
crap.
Just awful.
When's Ty doing?
At 8 o'clock.
Okay,
so
good.
So he'll get here around 9.
Well, he didn't go to sleep, I'm sure. So he probably on his way in now.
But me and Dan were talking about it. It's like the kid's like 20-something. He doesn't do drugs or drink. Get your ass in here. Like, what's your excuse?
And by the way, later on the show, Nick got audio last night that legitimately freaked me out.
Oh.
Ah, Nick, I tried to poison you.
Oh, boy. Anyway, it's a Hug It Out Monday. Electronic hug. Today's the kind of day I'm going to swear. Like, I'm okay. Just going to lose my mind.
Everybody's doing it. It's the cool thing to do.
It really is. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Touch. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rick. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Schwartz, he'll clear the zone. A team that was in last place on January 3rd. The players on the bench are bouncing up. History will be made tonight in Boston. 15 seconds to go as Shen blocks a puck to the corner. 10 seconds remaining. Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. Raise them high. 5 seconds to go. And the time winds down. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
That is no get the duck boats ready.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, come on.
That is not a Dave Gosher moment.
It was fine. It was fine. It was fine. The people of St. Louis have something to celebrate, and good for them. I mean, they in fairness, they did sell out that arena, and they had to move into Busch Stadium because they had so many people that wanted to be a part of that.
It's just first time you've ever won the cup. I mean, you can forgive some giddiness on the man's part.
Oh, you're
not
no,
always
going to
stick the landing. I mean, look. They've never done it before. They were in last place in January. It's a hell of a story.
Well, what would you have said if you're in that position?
Get the duck boats ready?
No. You should have ripped off Gosher?
I don't know what I would have said.
He would have said, I have some information.
That's right. hell of a story. Yeah.
Have you heard back from your source?
I have not.
Okay, because earlier in the show...
I think your source is not going to get up for a long time.
If you didn't hear it, I was saying, we were asking about how Tim Thomas was being reported by reputable sources that Tim Thomas could be the banner captain, and then when it ended up not being him, everyone's like, well, I wonder what happened.
All I was able to glean is that there was a great story behind it, but I was not given the story, making me far from an insider in the case.
As you can
by the way,
I'm
looking back on it, probably not something I should have said.
By the way, but, it's, who cares? By the way, Edelman just hanging around. No one ever told me Edelman's a star again.
I think you're right, by the way. I forget which one of you said it.
He's a star.
No, I forget which one of you said it. They weren't. They had the fist bump kid and say, okay, who else is here? And Allie Raisman and Julian Edelman happen to have tickets and were like, hey, guys, could you come down here for a second?
Here's what I believe happened. They had Tim Thomas. Something went wrong. Like, somebody said something, because I know that the relationship is strained, or was strained, rather, between the Bruins and Tim Thomas. That's why it was such a shocker that he was going to be the banner captain. And everyone was like, what does this guy look like now? You know, does he have a big beard? I mean, he's been living in this bunker or something in the middle of nowhere. And when he didn't show up, I bet it was a situation where they had him ready to go, but somebody said something that he was like, nope, I'm out. Do it on your own.
They said the government code word.
Maybe they did.
He knew that they were all part of the glitterati.
Maybe he heard that Schilling was going to be there, and the two have like competing blogs about people are out to get them.
No, there's something nefarious with Thomas. The guys with the sunglasses and the earpieces showed up, and Tim made a break for it.
Who's the a-hole that gave Schilling tickets?
like you're telling me he couldn't afford them?
I am telling you that. Who goes we have a list of guys that want to get in the game. You know, there's Belichick and Kraft and all these people. I would imagine Kraft has to pay for the box. I mean, if he doesn't, then I mean, screw you. But
I don't think he's in a box. I think that he's like in like seats.
No. He's in a box.
When I was there for game two. When I was there, I saw Belichick in the box, because that was the night where Belichick waved the flag. Yeah. I saw Belichick in the box, but Kraft was in club seats. So I think he legit was out there.
When they show him,
they show him
in seats. Yeah. He's out about with the people. He's moving, shaking, headline making.
He's like, they call him a grease monkey because he just likes working on those drag racers.
it was the biggest applause since puck drop. Oh Jesus! This is great. This is the kind of a measured reaction we're gonna swear. I understand that people are pissed, but so I tweeted out something this morning because there's a video that Joe Giese, who works for BZ, put it out there. It's really good. It's Layla, the girl who was very sick, and they flew her in. The Blues flew her in to meet Stanley Cup, and it was an awesome moment. They brought her down on the ice. They gave her the cup, and she stood on it. She starts crying. It's like a huge, overwhelming moment for her. Right. And I put awful that the Bruins lost, but this is phenomenal. And then in all caps, JuiceMan00 tweets me, Bruce Juice. And he says, no the hell, it was not phenomenal. Sorry she's sick, but not on our ice. Go the hell back to St. Louis.
That's right.
All right, well, that's good. Then he goes, you bunch of goons, screw off. I hope their plane eats a mountain. Jeez. Crash and burn.
God. Well, that's...
Okay.
But then Kraft was like, I've ate a mountain before. A mountain of ladies.
It was the biggest round of applause.
I'm surprised he didn't like Rob Halford and just take a motorcycle into this.
Did you see Jason Tatum just getting a world of crap last night? So Jason Tatum's from St. Louis. He's got like a big ass like arch on his calf. Like it's a massive tattoo. It's like St. Louis forever or something like that.
That's awesome.
And he tweeted something. It was like, hey, congratulations, St. Louis Blues. Yay. And he just got a world of crap from Bruins fans. I hope you get traded.
Have fun
in New Orleans.
Well, if you do that, you got to expect that you're going to get some backlash. And that's just part of what happens. I mean, if you're going to say congratulations to the team that just beat the city that you're playing in, I would imagine that there would be some backlash.
Somebody said he sits in the RKK, the first row of the club seats. Was that every game in those seats other than row 5?
He's got to have security and stuff, or is his security just his, like, snapping his finger?
I mean, all of a sudden, you know, who's not going to jump in front of a bullet for Mr. RKK?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, everyone knows that.
Boom, boom, boom.
All this guy starts snapping, knocking people out of the way, kicking with the stomach.
Like, Chachi, get down here. It's a rumble. No blades, no guns, just fists. All right, we will have some Jack Edwards audio.
So Jack Edwards is a strange man.
So we will...
Surprise.
Yeah. I actually am looking forward... I looked forward to this from the moment I came in today because I knew Jack was going to be very sorrow-filled.
He's doing his own thing, and I don't know what's going on other than Jaffe and Ty Anderson saying that he does play-by-play to himself up at the booth during the games that he's not calling. But then he's been recording these little, like, recaps at the end of the game.
This is for Facebook Live now, right?
Dude, I don't know what it's for. But all I know is that I found it.
All right.
And it's...
He just tapes it and buries it in someone's backyard. Okay, so we'll have audio from Jack Edwards in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. There's that Willis Tower in Chicago, which is that the tallest building in the world or in the United States or something?
I know it's one of them.
It's taller than Sears Tower. I know that. So anyway, there's this big building right in Chicago, and it's famous because you can stand on this glass, and you're encased in glass, and you look down, and you can see like the street and everything.
Yeah,
that cracked yesterday. Yeah, you're out of your mind. Don't do things like that. Like, it's nothing is perfect. Nothing is structurally sound. Just don't tempt fate. Just you mind your own business. You don't need to go up there and stand on glass like an idiot. I'm high up in the air.
I've done that before at like the Ghost Bar in Vegas has something that's like that. You're like, all right, and it's fairly unsettling. Just even standing and looking down there, it's not the most fun.
I guess it's. I guess that is the Sears Tower. Is the
they had to? They renamed it a few years ago.
My bad. But thank you. But you can go up in St. Louis in that arch, and to that I say, why? Like, what are you gonna like? Why you got to get in something?
Is that where
like the Statue of Liberty? Like, why do you have to go in it?
I don't know.
Like, just stand there and look at it, you idiot.
The arch, is that the one where it clicks up and then you get to the top and there's like one kind of sliver you can look out?
I've seen the sliver, but my father wanted to get into it, and I said, I'm fine.
Okay.
I've been on an airplane. I think that I know what the ground looks like. I don't need to get into some structure.
Well, that's the thing, like, too, is that, like, you know, the Statue of Liberty, you know, a lot of people probably flew into New York. If you flew into New York, kind of saw New York from an even better vantage point than being at the top of the Statue of Liberty. Why do you actually need to be inside of it?
Right. Or you could just go to Ellis Island and look at it. You know, everyone has to climb into something. Go climb into the Mona Lisa. No, because you're looking at something. It's a work of art. I mean, obviously, it's a statue. It's a work of art. Why you got to be able to, like, wait, idiot? You got to climb into it?
I went to Mexico, and I went to Chichen Itza, which is where all those, Apocalyptica, remember the movie where they had the Mayans, and they cut off the heads and did all that? It's those big pyramids. And so, I climbed into it. And you have to climb up those stairs in order to kind of go to the top as well. The thing is that once you get up there, getting down is a nightmare. For some reason, because you're facing it, you're kind of almost like using your hands and legs. But going down, you have to crab walk your way down from like this ridiculous height. And with every step, you're like, I'm going to die.
Yeah, it's the world telling you not to get on it. Stay off. All right, Jack Edwards, Rich.
He's a strange man.
All right, so what is this that we're about to play?
He thought that, listen, the world would not be complete and the season would not officially end until Jack Edwards gave his commentary on what happened last night. And here's a very somber Jack standing in front of some sort of banner just by himself, all alone.
Here's Jack Edwards.
Four wins is proof enough. There were two teams out there playing, and the St. Louis Blues proved to be the better of the two. So a heartfelt congratulations to the club that went from the pits of the NHL to hockey's summit in about 6 months. For Bruins fans, it is a pretty hard landing after such soaring achievement, but that bruise will fade as the years recede and wrinkles appear.
Man. Can't wait to die so I can get over this whole loss. Oh. It's putting things in perspective, Jack. As the inevitability of death grows near.
And this isn't going to mean much to you. You know what, Will? Breathing.
Yeah. It's going to, the inevitability of death. Listen, One day you'll have sweet, sweet silence. As you realize there's no afterlife and one just rots in hell. In eternal blackness.
Suspended animation for the rest of eternity.
Oh, Lord, take me. The Bruins have lost. Jack Edwards, very, very somber.
For players, this temporary misery will recur. Occasional stabs to the heart for the rest of their lives.
Hey, now you're speaking my language.
Jim Stewart.
Stab. Stab. Ay, ay, ay. Jack, I mean, it's a game, buddy. Let's get it together a little bit.
But bonded by their shared sacrifice in this passionate pursuit, this Boston Bruins team may end up eventually stronger for having gone through this together. Because
Chara's not going to be here in 2 years.
No, it's.
I get what you're trying.
I think he's saying stronger in terms of being human.
Is more of a universal message.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying it's stronger as a team. I think he's stronger as like human beings. Like that you know,
he's out for the greater good.
There's an upside to this, in that these will make these gentlemen stronger individuals as life time slowly ticks away. Until you can finally forget about the Bruins losing Game 7 in 2019. I wish I had a remote just to fast forward until I could forget this. Jack, and he's just alone, taping this himself?
I don't know who's taping it or whether it's a stand or what, but there's no one in the background, no one near him. Just waiting for a nice quiet moment.
Everyone is keeping their distance.
He's probably doing it right next to Jake DeBrus crying.
I'm just like, there's Jack. Why don't we wait over there?
So he's just doing, stop it, Jack.
He's finished.
So he said, stop it, Jack. You're scaring the kids.
Yeah. I mean, my children are listening right now. I don't know if this is the message that they need.
Because you don't learn who the best teammates are when the champagne is dripping off the ceiling of the dressing room. You learn who the best.
The blood is dripping off the ceiling. Splatter, splatter. Stab to the heart, stab to the heart. Spurt, spurt, spurt.
Chase, too. Very macabre this morning.
Yeah. The champagne dripping from the ceiling. The pig's blood pouring down. Sweet, salty blood.
You don't learn who the best teammates are when the champagne is dripping off the ceiling of the dressing room. You learn who the best teammates are when the champagne is dripping off the ceiling of the dressing room right down the hall.
Holy cow, he's really in, like, the locker room or something.
Yeah, you can hear the people milling around, like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, like, what a creep. He's a super creepy guy. Jaffe told me, like, all play-by-play guys are super weird, but, like, this is, like, another level. Yachi Machi.
He does, like, the pause, and he looks down at the shoes, and he comes up, and get ready to have your mind blown with this one.
You know, some of us lived with brown teeth for the majority of our lives.
Let's see that booty bounce.
All right. We will be back. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines. Of course, Ty Anderson not here. So we will come back. Yeah, he's in traffic. Everyone's in traffic. You know, there's traffic everywhere you go. You know, I have to take my kids at least two places a day, and I get them on time, regardless of traffic. See, you put yourself in a situation where you get places without traffic. However, I don't care. Actually, but I just want him to have to get here so he has to write in this station all day. All right, no commercials here, just headlines. We'll come out. We'll hear Nicholas out in front of the garden yesterday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.